Listen, I was really hoping for more people to be here, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, God just put this on my heart. For some of you people may not care about it, some of you may, but everybody always hears about, you know, going to hell and, you know, Jesus, you know, this and Jesus that. Listen, there's nobody who's been more compassionate or who is still more compassionate than Jesus Christ. And the Lord just put it on my heart, these verses, to share with you how compassionate He really is. Because a lot of people don't understand. They think that this thing is just a religion. But I'm just telling you now, there's a compassion about Jesus Christ for what He did on the cross. But also, listen, after salvation, there's still compassion. And I just want you to know, everybody in this class today, listen to me. I was not a lovey-dovey, tiptoey, huggy-typey, you know, type of person. And so, listen, something had to change in my heart. I had a heart of stone. Love was not something that I did on a daily basis. Love was not something that I did on a monthly basis. Love was not something that I did on a yearly basis. Maybe once in a while, if I felt like it, I may show some love towards somebody. That's just the kind of person I was. Just hard as a rock, like this wall, cold and hard, and just didn't care. And but I'm here to tell you today that a transformation happened in my heart, and now I have compassion. But there's one who has more compassion than me. And for him to show me that, for him to change my heart the way he has changed my heart, that's a miracle in itself. Yes, my life has changed. Yes, the way I talk and the way I think and the way I do things and dress, that has all changed. But it's the miracle of my heart. It's the miracle of what has happened inside of me because of his compassion and what he's done for me. That's what's changed me. That's the miracle. That's what's most of you guys don't understand, because you've known me for the past 6.5 years as Dale, and I've always been a nice person, a kind person, and so on and so forth. But I'm just here to tell you now that that's not who I always was, and it's only because of the compassion of Jesus Christ, it's only because of his love and what he's done that I stand up here today. Okay, you call me a wimp and, you know, this and that because I'm a nice person and I try to do things right. You can call me any kind of name you want. That's fine with me, because here's the sad part. I realized, living out in that world, I realized what it was going to do to me. I realized what it has done to me. And I realized that Jesus Christ had something different from me. And I'd much rather be called a wimp for Jesus than be called somebody who's strong for this world. Because if you're strong for this world, you're the weak one. Because it really takes a man and a woman to stand up for Jesus. Think about that. It takes a man or a woman to really stand up for Jesus Christ. It's easy to stand up for this world, because it's full of sin. It's easy to blend in with them. But you go ahead and start standing up for Jesus Christ and standing up for those the things that are right, for the King James Bible, and for those things you believe, and now you become something different. You become a mark. It takes a man to do that. I'm not saying every man has it down pat, or every woman has it down pat, but I'll tell you what, you want to take a stand for something, you want to be have a target put on your back, you go ahead and call yourself a Christian and live like one in this world. And it's going to take the mercy and grace and compassion of Jesus Christ to get you through that. I guarantee that. Because there's times, me and my wife, our family is going through a hard time financially. And there's times that my flesh wells up. And I know. My wife knows. I tell her the stories of how I go out there and make us money right now. And we'll be okay. But there's been a change in my heart. A change in my heart that says, you know what, we're going to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We'll stop and pray. Don't we stop and pray? We'll stop and pray as a family. Because right now, yesterday I got these calls from my supervisor, my boss, and all that. They're begging me to come back because they want me to be a first assistant and then a store manager. And that money looks so good right now. But physically, I just can't handle it. But I don't have to go out there and do things legal. Do you understand? There's nothing that's stopping me from doing things illegal. Do you guys understand that there's nothing stopping my criminal mind from being a criminal mind but the love and compassion of Jesus? Do you understand? Listen, that line, and I'm going to say this not to be mean, but that line, I want to stress this, I want to make this so clear that I've ever made anything. The line from me being a Christian man and me bashing your face in is so thin that you don't realize that it takes the love and compassion of Jesus Christ not to unleash the man that I used to be. gonna just take a man like me and change me into who I am. You may not look at me as like I'm something, but you go ahead and take the people in my past and the people that suffered my wrath and you ask them how much of a better man I am today. And it's only because of the love of Jesus Christ. But you see, that what changed that man's heart? Mike Rizzuti, you guys hear, he'd done 10 years in prison. Hard man out there on the street. What has changed his life to make him serve the Lord and go out there and preach and start churches? What gets into a guy's heart like that? What gets into mine and his heart? Now, we're pretty tough guys. There probably ain't many people, me and him together, that are going to beat me and him up. Pastor Randall, another one. If us three stood in the line, go ahead, we'll take anybody on, I guarantee it. But tell me, what changes those men's heart? What changes our heart? The compassion of Jesus Christ. The love that he has shown. The love that he has shown through all the trials and the things that we put ourselves through, all the sin and the vileness that we got ourselves into, that love, Jesus, just thinking that on that cross, Jesus still said, I'm going to die for you. I died for you. I love you. And I want to do something with your life. That takes a lot to change a man's heart like me and Mike Rizzuti and Pastor Randall. That takes a miracle. Compassion, my mother loved me, okay? She didn't live a perfect life, but she loved me. And she used to beg me to please stop doing what I'm doing. Her compassion did not change my life. I had three other kids in my past. The compassion of my kids looking at me, and I can still walk out and not be bothered by their tears. I wasn't bothered. I could walk out on my kid. I walked out on three of my children's life. Walked out, just turned my back on them, walked out. The compassion for them did not matter. It did not change my life. What changed Dale Morey's life? What changed my heart from a man who's so cold that he could walk away from that kind of stuff? And the strangers, just the beatings that I unleashed and the things that I did to strangers. What takes somebody like me now and changes my heart to what I would, God forbid, I'd rather die than walk away from my wife and kids. I don't care how bad it got. I would rather die than to walk away from Jesus Christ. I would rather die than not sit here and be able to help somebody. I go to Wellsprings every week, and I'll tell you, there were some hard people to deal with. And I sit in there and I deal with them. Why? Because I pray to God, you give me a heart for these people, Lord. Why? Because that's what you did. You did. You know what, Lord? You had a heart for me. You died for me. You changed my life. So you see, everything that, and it's not by my works, you need to understand, because this is not ever what was in my heart. It was never in my mind. It was never in my intentions to be a Christian. I came to sit in this church one time, I told my wife. Didn't I tell you that? I said, I'll go check him out. I'll go see what this pastor's all about. And Jesus gripped my heart, man. And it's never been the same. And I thank God. I raised my hand. I thank God. It's never been the same again for me. Got saved 2.5, almost 3 years ago, and I thank God that I stepped foot in this church 6.5 years ago and listened to a man talk about compassionate Jesus. John 11:35. You guys know it probably. 11:35 says this, it's real short. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Let me tell you something, he's got a heart for you people sitting in this room. He's got a heart that is so for you guys that he went up on a cross. Jesus was a man's man. I mean, he went in and flipped over tables and, you know, I mean, he went over, flipped over tables and yelled at people and got in people's face and so on, did what he had to do. He sat there on the pinnacle and faced the devil and all his temptations. I mean, he was a man's man and he wept. A lot of guys today walk around like they can't shed a tear. That would mean they're not a man. I'll tell you, you're a wimp if you think that you can't cry and have compassion over something. Hey, I cry. I tear up. Why? Does it make me a little wimp? Does it make me a little wimp? It means I have compassion. It means I have feelings. I have something that I've never had before. Therefore, I cherish when I feel something. I cherish it. Why? Because that's something I've never experienced. I don't know if you don't understand that, but I have never experienced the love that you guys had. I haven't experienced the family you guys had, even if it's a little rough. A little rough family would have been okay compared to what I had. But I never experienced the love and fellowship and closeness and stuff. So this is all new to me, and you know what? I love it. So call me what you want, but go ahead. I mean, just what I tell you, when I say I'm enjoying my life, it's not because I have things financially, but I have things inside of me that are so different. I have feelings inside of me that I never knew I had. I enjoy what I had. Why? Jesus wept. And he went on that cross for Dale Lorry. He didn't have a problem with it. This world have a problem. Hey, you think the world will die for you? Do you think that? Do you really think anybody in this world is going to die for you right now? No, they're not going to. Don't count on it, please. Go ahead and live for them. That's what you want to do anyway. I mean, just saying. You know I'm telling you the truth.
So where is your opinion line for the people who would do such a thing for others?
My opinion what?
Where is your opinion line for the people who actually would give up their lives for others?
You, name somebody. It's hard for a family member to die for another family member. It just is. I mean, it's very, but if you love somebody that much, so be it. I'll pat you on your back. Good. Just hope you're safe. Just hope that you're safe before you go ahead and commit such a ridiculous thing. Now, if somebody had a bullet to my wife and kid's head and they said, listen, you're either going to take this bullet or they're going to. Well, of course, I'm going to take that bullet. If I know we're running down the street and I know somebody's going to shoot at us, I'm going to dive in front of that bullet. Yeah, I'm just going to do that. It's naturally how I'm going to react. Matter of fact, if somebody said, Dale, you're going to go up there and die for Timmy, I can't sit here and say that I would. And it's not because I'm being mean. I'm just being truthful. But if me and him were running away from terror, if somebody was just winging bullets at us, I'd make sure he was in front of me running. That I would do. I may or may not get hit. But I can't say honestly that I would just die for him, that I would just give up my life for him. That's why I commend soldiers. Because they will do such a thing. They jump on grenades and everything else for their buddies. Then they come home and get spit on. The people in Iraq, do you know how they're being treated right now? Afghanistan? There's homeless soldiers out there right now. There's soldiers out there addicted to drugs and they're hopeless. Why? That's how we treat them. Send them out there to die for our country, then bring them back here and treat them like garbage. That's what they do. That's what they do to these people. I mean, this has been a whole thing. I've been reading on the news for months and months, and it just ate me up, and I pray for it every single day. It's on my, you can open up my prayer book, and it's every day I pray for them soldiers who are out there who are homeless, who don't have hope, who are drug addicts, and that people are just thrown away, because that's what's happening to American soldiers today. And if you think otherwise, you're crazy. You don't know the truth. I've been following the story. And now finally, this whole bunch of people have been fighting, and they finally got, guess what they got? They got grants to get the soldiers off the streets. Man, a soldier should have never been on the street in the first place. They're going to die for America, come home and to be homeless? But you know what? They finally got a grant where they don't have to be homeless anymore. Do we pat America on the back? Shame on America. Shame on America for how they treat our military. Shame on that. Now, I wasn't ever one for the military like that, but I tell you what, I got a compassion for them. And not because I have a son that's in the military, not because I have a good friend Tim, and a good friend Sam who's going, and a good friend Sean Carpenter who's going to the Marines. It's not really because of that. But because I see how they get treated, and it's a shame that there's nobody has compassion for our soldiers who go out there and for our freedom, put their life on the line, and they come home and get treated like that. They should be treated like royalty. Every one of them should be treated like a hero. Every one of them. And I believe that with all my heart. I don't care if you're in the Air Force. I don't care if you're in the Army. I don't care if you're in the Marines. I don't care if you're a CB out there in the Navy. Listen, they should be treated with respect. They should be thanked every single day. And they should always be taken care of where they have enough money and everything. Most of them come home and work and everything. It's not like they're all bad. But some of them just can't handle what they've seen in the war. So they have to go on the pills to help them with their mental. And I'm all for that for these guys. Because these poor guys have seen some things. We saw that Vietnam thing. And I just tell you, it's a miserable life to see what they see. And they come home and try to live normal. They should be taken care of. They should, really should. I don't know where, but I'm just telling you, compassion. Jesus had compassion. You don't think Jesus has compassion on the soldiers? Sure he does. That's why there's people out there, worldly people, fighting for our military. It's a shame. We should be out there doing it. We should be out there fighting for our military men, our men and women. But we don't. We're too busy about ourselves. You don't have to turn to these. Luke 22:42. If you want to turn. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was willing to die for us and had compassion to go on that cross and pay a debt that we could not. Do you realize that if you're an unsaved person here in this church today, you have a debt hanging over your head? And I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about a sin debt that you cannot pay. You cannot afford not to have it taken care of. I'm going to turn to Matthew 18:22. Matthew 18:22. Whoa, 18. There's quite a few verses I want to get through here, but God is good. Jesus saith unto him, I say it not unto thee until seven. Oh, that's not it. 18:22. That's not it. We put the wrong one down, huh? Okay, this here. There's a story in Matthew, and it's in, I think it's in chapter 17 or 18, where the guy comes up and he's begging. He owes all this money. He's saying, please, I can't pay it. I'm sorry. Please, forgive me of my debt. And the guy he owes the money to goes, you know what? You're right. He's had compassion on him, and he forgave all his debt. Just forgave it all. And then the guy walks away and tries to recollect on the debt that, so, for somebody else who owes him money. But here's the point.
It's 18:23.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account for his servants, and he had began to reckon. One would brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, all he had, and the payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And the lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him and his debt. I'm just telling you right now, as an unsaved person, you're in this room, and you have a debt that you cannot pay, and you can't sell your wife, you can't sell your kids, you can't sell your soul to pay that debt. But Jesus had compassion, and he paid that debt. It's paid in full if you want it. Paid in full, man. I mean, there's a debt that you'll never... I don't care how many works you think you're going to do. I don't care what you think you're going to do in life. You can never, ever pay a debt. That sin debt. There's only one person. Jesus, he had compassion and paid that debt. But you know what goes on in America today? Who wants that debt paid? Zero. Nobody. I was just talking to the pastor. I said, I've never seen Christianity despised as much as I do today. Matter of fact, here's the thing. Me and my wife were talking on the way in this morning. People accept Amish people more than they do Christians. You're okay to be Amish. It's okay to go buy from you and respect you for what you believe and everything else, but tell them you're Christian and see what happens to you. You don't get that respect. You don't get that respect. Tell them you're a Baptist. Oh, what do you mean you're a Baptist? That's what I get all the time. A Baptist? A Baptist? That's what I get all the time. Well, they ask me, what's your religion in the hospital? I'm Baptist. Baptist? Yeah, I'm Baptist. But if I came in this hospital and said, I'm Amish, you're Amish. Oh, hope everything gets well, you can work your bill up. You know, that's how they are to them people. But go ahead and tell them you're a Baptist. You don't get that. There's something wrong with that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Something a little funny about being a Christian, how people can't accept it. Why? Because they just don't want it. They don't want it. I mean, they'll accept anything else but the reality of, you know why? People don't want Christ because they have to change their life. They have to give up sin. They got to become something they don't, you know, that they don't want to give up. And it's not a bad life to give up what we gave up, is it, Amy? Not a bad life. Look, you got a bad life, huh? You got a pretty good life, don't you? Yeah, I think so. Pray. You got love, come home to. I hear the stories, they come home and tell me. Well, this kid doesn't have a mom or a dad. Or this kid lives with their grandmother. Or this, they'll have this. This person stinks. Oh, they don't have food. And I mean, just the stories the kids come home and tell me, it's so sad. Sad. And then you know what? My kids are already, at their young age, being made fun of. And I have to teach them already how to handle being made fun of as a Christian in a school. You guys started going to school at a later age, you could defend yourself. My little ones are going to school and being picked on all the time because of their Christianity. So I have to teach them how to be a strong Christian right now at their age. Guess who's prevailing? It ain't the world, I can guarantee you that. My kids ain't turning their back on Jesus Christ and Christianity. They love the life that they're in. They see the difference between the world and what their life is. They see the difference in that. I don't pound on them about things. You know what? Me and my wife just live a Christian life. We pray a Christian life. We walk a Christian life. We talk a Christian life. They're the ones going to see the difference in it. Not me pounding something down their throat. They're going to see and be able to make their own choice what life they want. And it's not because of anything that we sit there and pound on them, because we don't. Do you know my kids ask and beg for BBB? That's Bible Before Bed. They ask and beg for that every single night. They ask and want to pray. If Amy, for some reason, forgets to go pray with them for one night, Mom, we got to pray. Mom, we have to pray. Even though they get picked on in school about being a Christian, they still ask for that every single night. Isn't that something? That's something? Because they see something that these people don't have. Where'd that come from? Me and Amy? Me and Amy couldn't hold a life together for... I mean, we just couldn't do it. It just wasn't going to happen. But the compassion Jesus Christ had on me and Amy to save us and be able to have a family. That's where it all comes from. You have to be honest. That's where it all comes from. Because Jesus had compassion on me and Amy and saved us. And by our life, are we perfect, Luke? No. We make mistakes, do we not? But don't we come up to you and shake your hand and tell you how much we love you and sorry for making that mistake and such? Yeah, it's weird. God forbid if I ever had an issue with one of my kids and I didn't resolve it. Or my wife. My wife does the same thing. Make sure that its issue is done, dealt with, and over with. Why? I don't want nothing in between me and my kids. I don't want nothing in between me and my wife. I want there always be an open relationship there where they can come and tell me anything. We can talk about anything and resolve everything. Compassion. You have a little compassion. You don't always get spanked for everything you do. Sometimes daddy lets you go, don't you? Because you learned your lesson and you're already. I have compassion on my kids. My wife doesn't always get spanked either. I have compassion on her. No, I'm just kidding. Matthew 9:36. Compassion, man. It's a compassion that Jesus has for people. And I'm just telling you now, man, you know, they don't want that compassion. People, you know, just think about it, guys. You're smart enough to look around this world and just tell me how many people really want Jesus Christ. How many people want, they know that there's a compassion from Jesus Christ out there. They know there's a love for him out there, but how many people want it? They'd rather live in their misery. They're comfortable in their misery. Me and my wife just talked about that. People are more comfortable in their comfort zone of misery than they are to have a good life in Christianity. That's something shocks me. You know, I would never known that until I stepped back and got saved and seen what kind of fool I have been my whole life. Fool. I stand up here before you today as a fool saved by a holy God. That's something? A fool. That's what I live my life as, guys. Matthew 9:36. I'm not going to get through all this, but it's okay. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He had compassion on us to lead us through this life. He sees that people are weak and weary and they're fainting. The life is getting too hard for them. They have nowhere to turn. He says, turn to me. I have compassion on you. I'll get you through this. I'll be the one there for you when you fall. I'll be the one that... Listen, it's hard for your family to even back you up anymore. There's a few of us in here who have family members that will back us up. But I'm just telling you, most of the world now, you'll be left alone, man. And you know what? Jesus says, I'm there for you. I know it's getting hard. Listen, I'm just telling you now what the road to come, young people. I'm telling you now that road's going to get hard and that burden's going to get heavy. Don't think it's not going to happen to you because it is. And I'm just telling you now, when you start getting faint, when you start not being able to handle it, there's one waiting for you to get called his name. And I promise you that. I know you guys don't want it right now. You know you don't want it right now. But I'm just telling you, when it gets deep, man, calling his name, he's waiting for you. All of you, every single one of you sitting in this room. I know you guys really don't want it. You got to be here because your parents or whatever else. But I'm just telling you right now, when it gets heavy and when it gets hard and when you get faint-hearted, call on Jesus Christ. He'll be there for you. Don't turn all this other crap. This world is not going to do anything but ruin you and set you nowhere else. How do I know that? Because that's where I came from. I came from the world. I didn't come from a Christian home. God saved me out of that Christian world. He saved me. He pulled me out of that garbage. And I just want to warn you out of love and compassion. Jesus, when you get faint-hearted, he's waiting for you to call his name. I'm not picking on anybody in this room, but I know where people stand. I'm not an idiot. I know a good friend of mine who tried to be sneaky the other day with me. I catch on to things pretty quickly. Okay? I watch things. I'm very observant. I watch faces. I watch movements. All that kind of... I may not catch everything, but 99% of the time, I'm catching something. That's my wife and kids. I catch it. Because I'm an ex-convict. That was my job. I watched people. That's how I knew how to make moves and when to make moves and how to do things and when to do things. That's how I knew. That's just what you do. Watch faces. I watch movements. I watch gestures. I watch how you act. Listen, young people, I'm telling you now. If you think that I'm not watching you when you're around, I'm watching you. Trust me. I know where you stand in life. I'm not an idiot. I'm not here to judge either. I'm here to give you the word. God told me to come down here to this Sunday school room and go ahead and just preach his word and he'll do the rest. That's all. And I love you guys. If you guys don't think I love you, that's your fault. I love you. I don't pick on you. I say what I say because I love you. I don't see nobody else sitting down here putting their head on a chopping block that you might be mad at me. I do it every week. Why? Because I love you. I have compassion for you guys. Did the bell ring? I don't think so. Matthew 14:14. I promise you, I do it for no other reason. I'm not getting no rewards here. Nobody's paying me to come down here. And if you remember last time, we tried doing a Sunday school, me and Amy, and it just fell apart. But since I got saved, tell me it hasn't held together. We got a good Sunday school. I love our Sunday school. I love coming here. I look forward to being with you guys, joking with you guys all day long. We joke around and play around. I love that. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them and healed their sick. Listen to me. 90% of you in this room are sin sick. Sin sick. And Jesus wants to heal that. You know, it didn't say that he was mad. He said he has compassion on you. He feels sorry for where you're at and he wants to give you something different. He's not happy you're in your sin. He's not happy you're living your life the way you are. But he has compassion. He wants to change that. He wants to make that different for you. Does it say he had compassion and healed their sick? Does it say he was mad at them? He wants to heal that. And if physically, if you have a sickness, he wants to help you through that. I'm telling you right now, if I didn't have Jesus in my life and after these surgeries, I just would not make it. We would not make it. I don't believe we'd make it. Do you believe we'd make it? I wouldn't make it. I don't know what lesson Jesus is showing me in my physical ailments and the things that I'm going through, but there's something here. I know one thing. My job offers are going through the roof right now, though, at work. Aren't they? Right now I'm offered quite a bit of money. I mean, a huge increase.
McDonald's?
Yeah. I mean, just huge. I don't ever hear from my boss and all that. And all of a sudden, yesterday, they're all over me. Yesterday, please hurry up, come back. I'm like, oh man, you know, I want to, but I physically, trust me, I can't take it, man, right now. But I want to, because I know that it helped me and my family. So you know what we did? We stopped there, and all four of us, we prayed and said, Lord, whatever your will is, let it be done. I'm gonna read one more.
My suggestion.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know you may not like the idea, but you don't really work in a wheelchair at all.
Do what?
Can't work in a wheelchair at McDonald's. Right?
No, you can't. None of that.
Why not?
I want to read Matthew 20, verse 34, and we'll be done. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately received sight, and they followed him. And I'm going to give this to you spiritually. Jesus has so much compassion that he's willing to take people who know nothing about Jesus, who know nothing about the Bible, who know nothing about church, who know nothing about the King James Bible, and he's willing to touch them and open their eyes so they can see where they are. You see, no other God, not Buddha, not Muhammad, none of them, not any of them, other Allah, all those other gods, they won't open your eyes to what you really are. But you see, the Word of God preaching Jesus wants to open your eyes to what you really are. Why? He wants to open your eyes and then you'll follow him. You see, I'm going to say this. There's some men of God out there that I love dearly who didn't, you know, God had to open their eyes. Even though they didn't live a sinful life like we did, like out there getting arrested and everything else, they still had sin in their life and God had to open their eyes for them to be safe. But then there are guys like me that God had to take out of that world and open our eyes to what we really are. And I'm just telling you now, whether you're a goody two-shoe you think you are, or whether you think you're the worst of the worst, Jesus wants to open your eyes to what you really are, and he wants you to follow. He loves having those kind of people. Why? Those who are forgiven much love much. I'm not bragging, because I don't think I love Jesus enough. But I know this, that I'm willing to. I'm willing to give up everything in my life for him. I just am. Why? Because he forgave me for a lot. If I could sit here and tell you everything that I ever did in my life, you may not want to be my friend. And you know what? Jesus forgave me for that. He forgave me. Forgave me. So I'm just telling you now, he has compassion. He wants to open your eyes and he wants to just change it.